What does it mean for the U.S. economy that the euro keeps falling against the dollar?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. European negotiators will hold talks tomorrow on a new treaty leaders agreed to last week. The treaty would strengthen budgetary oversight to lessen the debt crisis there. Meanwhile, there are fresh concerns that ratings agencies could downgrade the entire eurozone, and that has the U.S. dollar today at an 11-month high against the euro. What does that mean for Europe? What does it mean for the United States? Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
$1 today buys you 76 euro cents. That's up from 69 a year ago. So if you travel to Europe, your dollar goes further. It buys more German hotel room, or Belgian chocolate, or Chateau Latour. But it cuts both ways. If you sell stuff, you want a weaker currency, which helps the Europeans. Gabriel Stein is an economic forecaster at Lombard Street Research in London.
Obviously, if the euro is weak and the dollar is strong, Airbus will do better than Boeing, for instance, all things being equal. German machine sales, for instance, will do better than American.
Now, he and others are quick to say that exchange rates are just a piece of the world picture. If Joe the plumber here in the States doesn't have a job, he won't even go to Europe, nor will Giuseppe the plumber over there buy an American car or medicine or almonds. It doesn't matter, whatever the exchange rate. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly lower right now, except for London. The FTSE there is up about 0.25%, but everybody else is down. The U.S. Senate's expected to vote down an approved House measure extending the payroll tax cut. President Obama has threatened to veto that bill anyway, because it also opens the door for an oil pipeline and spending cuts that Democrats oppose. Import and export prices rose in November, imports by 0.7%, exports by just 0.1%. The oil cartel OPEC has agreed to a new 30 million barrel a day limit on output, the first new production limit in 3 years. That's as the International Energy Agency says oil prices next year could make a sour global economy worse. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost a little ground. The NASDAQ and S&P fell, and the Dow shed 66 points to close at 11,954. In Chicago, if new rules are approved today by the city council, it won't be business as usual for taxi drivers. That's after a series of traffic accidents involving taxis. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel outlined reforms for the taxi industry in the Windy City earlier this week. Cabbies could feel it in their pocketbooks, as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Cab drivers in Chicago lease their taxis. The new ordinance could require cab companies to reduce the time drivers spend behind the wheel and track their movements using GPS. Changes that may drive up the cost of leasing a taxi.
The biggest concern is that lease rates go up and there's no fare increase.
George LaFalla is a former taxi driver and publisher of an industry newspaper called the Chicago Dispatcher. He's not sure that limiting shifts to 12 hours would really improve safety.
I'm pretty much forced to work during those 12 hours, whether I'm up to it or not. Whereas if I had the cab for 24 hours, I could take a break.
But city officials may not get everything they want. Here's Commissioner Rosemary Krimble.
In Chicago, it used to be you could put a car on with 150,000 miles on it and start it as a cab. We've lowered it to 75,000. That is a concession.
A concession because she had wanted new taxis to be, well, you know, brand new. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Money Magazine, offering personal finance advice, ideas, and tips on managing your health, home, career, travel, tech, investments, and more. December's issue, Make Money in 2012, is on newsstands now.
National Football League owners today will vote on the sale of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Businessman Shahid Khan will likely get the team for around $760 million. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports now, there may have been some unspoken influence on that deal from clear across the country.
That influence came from Los Angeles. The city gave the go-ahead for developer AEG to create plans for a new stadium. Now it's looking for a football team to play in it. Rodney Paul is a sports finance professor at Syracuse University.
Given that L.A. is out there, a huge market, a huge potential source of profits and revenues, that constantly stays in the mind of potential buyers to these teams.
L.A. has been without a pro football team for more than 15 years. The Vikings, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Rams have all been in talks with AEG's reps. And L.A. has a lot to offer to whichever team lands here. Brad Humphreys teaches economics at the University of Alberta in Canada.
This is the first time that there's been a credible privately financed stadium deal in place. And that's going to clearly be a big incentive to the league to fill that market.
Humphreys says the NFL will have the final say on the team that moves to L.A. And he says the Jaguars, which can't fill its stadium, is a good candidate. Rodney Paul says buyer Shahid Khan's investment could double in value if the team moves to L.A.
It's silly to think that would not be in the back of his mind.
Fans are thinking about it, too. The Florida Times Union posted this video on its website from a recent game in Jacksonville.
We happy he's here, but don't take our team away.
Khan says he has no plans to move the team. He'd have to pay a hefty fee to break the team's lease in Jacksonville.
Go Jaguars!
But a shiny new billion-dollar stadium in one of the biggest markets in the country could be pretty tempting. In Los Angeles, I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Finally, the Federal Aviation Administration says starting Friday, American Airlines pilots will be able to use iPads in the cockpit, even during takeoff and landing. Those iPads will replace paper flight manuals. But the ban on passengers using devices such as iPads, phones, or anything with an on-off switch will continue. And while you won't be able to play Words with Friends during the beginning and the end of a flight, we can only hope the pilots won't be either. I'm Steve Chiantakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Congress and Wall Street bankers. A lot of people think they're one and the same.
By a 62% to 21% margin, voters in Texas believe that big business and big government typically work together against the interests of consumers.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Attitude Check, our partnership with Gallup. Big government versus big business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.